and welcome to Season 2 of 180 Degrees. For the next 8 episodes, we're sharing stories from people across Ireland working towards a cleaner energy future. We chat to the people who are making a real difference in the area of sustainable transport, home energy, and in our communities. We hear from businesses who are cutting carbon emissions, and we learn how energy research is shaping Ireland's future. 180 Degrees is brought to you by the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland and is supported by the Government of Ireland. Hello, I'm your host, Louise Ryan, and joining me today is Carol Loftus from Mulrani Sustainable Energy Community and Ruth Buggy from SAAI's Sustainable Energy Communities team. In this episode, we will be looking at inspirational energy communities around Ireland. Carol has been working to make the community of Mulrani in County Mayo sustainable for many years now and joined the Sustainable Energy Community Network in 2018. Ruth has worked with the communities in her roles in SEAI since 2005, first with the Warmer Home Scheme and now with the Sustainable Energy Communities Programme, which she set up in 2015. This programme now has 467 member communities. Welcome to you both. Thanks so much for joining me, Carol and Ruth.
Thanks, Louise. Great to be here.
Thanks a million, Louise.
So, Ruth, just to kick this off, just for people listening to this today who mightn't be aware of what a sustainable energy community is, can you tell them about the network and how it all began?
Sure, Louise. So we set up the network back in 2015 to help answer the question we get asked the most. And that question is, what can I do to make my life more sustainable? And the answer is you can do loads, but you can do even more if you bring people along with you. And that's what the community approach is all about. So by getting a group together, as small as you like, it can be as much as a street or as big as a county, together to consider how, as a group, you can change how your community uses energy, you can make a really big impact. There is a wealth of knowledge and experience in every community in Ireland, and it needs somebody like Carol to bring the group together to share that knowledge. If, for example, you've been through a big renovation in your home, you know way more than you ever wanted to know about renovating a home, but you don't intend to do it again anytime soon. So it's the same with retrofits and it's the same with renewables. And this way, with the network, you learn and you share as you go along. So our SEC network is there for communities to share and learn with each other and with the help of the community mentors provided by SEAI. As Louise said, we've almost 500 member communities, and that's huge. And it's far more than we ever thought we would have in a network and that we could hope to engage. It doesn't mean that these communities are active all the time, but it means 500 communities at least today around Ireland want to change how they use energy, and that's a great first step. So we're delighted to be able to have Carol with us to talk about her experience in leading her community in Mulrani.
Absolutely. Carol, can you just tell us a little bit about the community of Mulrani, kind of what makes it special, what makes it stand apart?
Yeah, well, I suppose, Louise, Mulrani, first of all, is an absolutely stunning location here in the shores of Clew Bay. It's absolutely beautiful. There's a very vibrant community here with a lot of active community groups, and many of them do have a kind of a, I suppose, a term for them, like a green kind of a theme. There's our own group, we're called the Mulrani Green Plan SEC group. There's an environmental group. There are also Clean Coasts. We have Tidy Towns. We have a Gift of Hands group that make recycled materials. And we're just, there's a men's shed activated. There's enough, it's like for a very small community, we have a lot of groups. And it's a very vibrant community, I have to say, and a great community to live among.
Oh, it sounds great.
Yeah.
How did you first get interested in sustainable energy, Carol?
I suppose it probably came about, I know I was telling the story to Ruth before when I met her the first time, that I'm from Dublin originally, from Palmerstown, and my brother's a fireman in Dublin, and he was working in Kilbarrick Fire Station, and that fire station was the world's first carbon neutral fire station.
Wow.
And I used to hear my brother Paul talking about all the great things they were doing there. Now, I was living here at the time, and one weekend I was up visiting, I said, John, I'm going to go out now and see what they're doing out here. And I met the guy called Neil McCabe. He's another fireman. He's called the Green Fireman, and he devised this thing called the Green Plan. And I just thought it was great. It's where you try to, you know, it's like green schools for communities. And you kind of pick a building and you try to make that building as sustainable as you can and do as many different initiatives as you can to make that building sustainable. And we did a lot of things there. And when we were researching all this kind of stuff for what we could do with buildings in the community, we spotted an advert for an energy event in Belmullet. And we decided we'll go down to that. This looks like could be something of interest here for us, a few of our group. And we met Ruth there.
Ah.
And yeah, that's how we heard about the sustainable energy community there. And Ruth invited us to another event in Athlone. I think it was actually, there was only about 50 communities at the time, I think, when we went to that event in Athlone. And we got to meet a lot of the people who were involved in their own SECs and hear what they were doing. And how it would work out for them. And we said, yeah, this is something that could be of benefit to the community here in Mulroney. And we decided we'd join up.
Great. That's brilliant, Carol. And I still remember that day in Belmullet that we did meet. And from one stunning location to another. And it really was a case of how people could come together and engage. And the Belmullet work was coming out of our work with the Atlantic Marine Energy Test Site. So there's a community engagement aspect to that ocean energy unit. So it was a really good opportunity to meet the wider community. And I know it's still quite a distance for you to come all the way out to Belmullet from Mulroney. How did you find bringing people together and getting them involved in the sustainable energy community now that you've decided to set one up coming out of that meeting? How did you bring other people in with you?
What we did was we decided that we did some things in the tourist office. We decided to call a meeting, you know, and we advertised it as, are you interested in saving energy, I think, you know, and things like that. And we invited the community. I think you actually came to that meeting, Ruth, and you spoke at that meeting. You met the community.
I remember.
We had it in the Mulroney Park Hotel.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we had, we're lucky here in Mayo that we have a great climate action officer, Laura Dixon. And Laura's been very helpful with us for a lot of initiatives here in Mulroney. And Laura came and she spoke. And we had Clare ICH there, an energy group in Claremorris. They explained all about the grant schemes and things like that. So, you know, people were just very interested in it. And on that night, we got a few new members to join our group. They signed up. And, you know, once we started to make a few changes at the tourist office, people got more interested and just kind of went from there.
How many kind of members do you have now, Carol?
Yeah, well, we probably have 7 steady members that have been there kind of since the, well, I suppose we probably had three or four of us at the beginning, probably 3. And then we got 4 at that event and that made us up to 7. And then we have people then who kind of drop in and out for different things. So it was all together, we probably have about 10, but there's probably a core group of 7 that are on the committee.
Carol, can you just tell us a little bit about the different roles that are within the group? Do people have different roles, or very defined roles, or kind of do you all work together?
Yeah, no, we kind of more or less really work together. I mean, we're all community volunteers. I have to say we're all women as well. I should throw that in there. I don't know how that is, but anyway. So we all really work together. There's no defined, like I'm the chair of the group. We have a secretary and we have a treasurer. So we are like, and we have a constitution. So we are properly formulated. We do operate that way. And we have regular meetings and an AGM and that kind of thing. But we more or less, like all of us kind of do the work together. We don't really have any defined roles. Everybody contributes to the meetings, and if any work's to be done, someone will volunteer to do something, or if we're, you know, filling in any forms or application forms, we'll do it together. So we kind of work together, really. You know, there's no literally, you know, defined roles as such.
Lovely.
And that works well for us. I mean, maybe other groups might work differently. They might have, you know, a certain area of expertise, but we're, you know, just ordinary people just trying to do our best to try and help the community and save energy. And we don't really have any particular skill set. We're very enthusiastic, I'd put it that way.
That's the best type of skill set, enthusiasm.
Yes.
Ruth, do you find that as well, that with, you know, in all the different groups around the country, that there, it's just a group of individuals that come together and they're just working together, or is there kind of defined roles in other communities?
It depends on the group that come together and the skill set that they bring with them. So for some people, they have a social inclusion mindset and they want to engage as many people as possible and help as many people as possible. In some cases, there might be quite a technical aspect to the skill set and they're more keen to get started on projects. So I think it's really about playing to the strengths of the group that's brought together. I think what Carol has as well is a really good website and Facebook presence as well. So people are aware that there's an opportunity to help out. I'd say to communities considering joining the network, which we'd really encourage, is that there is a seasonality to community activity. So for a group that's very much focused in a Tidy Towns type of startup, we understand that when the Tidy Towns competition is on, that sustainable energy activities will be less. Or for example, for a town that's very reliant on tourism, they may take a step back from bringing in new projects during the tourism season. But after that, when it comes into winter, they might be more active about planning and undertaking some projects then. So it's working with the strengths and what features you have in a community is what we'd encourage, because that's the best way to make it work. So then in terms of the projects that Mulroney have done across all seasons, Carol, would you mind telling me about the first light bulb swap and what encouraged you to start that project?
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, well, I was very lucky that I went on a trip to Germany with the Western Development Company. It was an energy trip. And that was really, really amazing, because in Germany, I think 34% of the local communities actually have some kind of a stake in their energy. You know, they have shares in their energy cooperatives over there, as I think over here, I don't know, is it something like 1% or something like that. So I just found that really it was fascinating. And we got to see biomass and, you know, we got to visit the types of things that we'd love to be doing here in Ireland, you know. And they had their community involved by doing like low-hanging fruit, as they called it. They had a light bulb exchange. And I said, oh, this is a great thing. I think we'll try that in Mulranny. And we had another event in our local school. And we encouraged all our community to come along and bring their high-energy bulbs with them. And we'd exchange them for low-energy bulbs, just to let people think about their energy uses. Just a little small, little simple thing. And we swapped, I think, over 150 bulbs that day. Like, we are a very small community. And it was really good. And we've gone and given a few talks to some of our local community groups. And we bring some light bulbs with us and we raffle them off as prizes. You know, just let people know what we're doing. And it's just a simple thing to do. You know, I have to say the SEAI supported us when that. They found us a sponsor for the bulbs. And some other SECs have also done that event now. They're doing that event as well, just to try and encourage people to start to think about energy in a small way.
I think that's lovely that it seems like a really small thing that you could start to do, and it's not really that daunting maybe for a group starting out.
Yeah, a really simple thing to do, you know, and people liked it and everyone understood it, you know, so that was really important, you know, and it encouraged people as well to come along to the event. So we got a lot of people coming along because they were getting a free light bulb, you know, or a couple of free light bulbs. And it was good.
You can do anything for something free.
Yeah. No, but it was nice, you know, and got a start of the conversation about other things then that people could do maybe to save energy. You know, when they came to our event, we got to have a chat with them on that, and they got to meet the children in the school, and they're doing their Green Schools Energy. They're doing Global Citizenship Energy. So they got a chance to meet the committee of the Green Schools, and they gave them a tip sheet, and they got to chat to them about energy. So it was a lovely event, and the light bulb did help. Light bulb exchange. That was the first one in Ireland.
Oh.
So we were delighted with that. Yeah.
Carol, so the tourist office in Mulranny, when we were chatting to you before, it seems to really be at the heart of the community. Can you tell us a little bit about the changes that you've introduced in the tourist office?
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's a community-run tourist office, Louise, for starters, and we have a lot of volunteers there who meet our tourists when they come. So that's really great. And we did some lovely upgrades there to the tourist office. We put in new windows, doors, we got the attic insulated, and we did the walls, and we changed all our lights to LEDs, and we're doing a kind of a little innovative thing there. We're actually burning invasive species rhododendron in the stove. We took out the chimney and put a stove in, and we said we'll try and burn. There's a lot, obviously, rhododendron's a problem, I think, here in Mayo, in our national park, and in Kerry, and I'm sure a number of other areas. And this is could be an opportunity for our community and maybe communities in Kerry to use that rhododendron as a biofuel or something. It gives off fantastic heat.
How did you think of that, Carol, though? Do you know, did you see it somewhere else? Or?
You know, we just were looking for things to do, and we were a member of Mulranny Environmental Group as well, and we were hoping we might be able to do something with rhododendron because it's really starting to take over here in the village. It looked beautiful in May with the pink flowers, but I mean, we all know that it's a disaster for our biodiversity. Kills off all our native plants and hedgerows. So we just thought, look, we'll see if we can do something with it. And we just thought, look, we'll try and burn it and we'll cut it and store it. And that's what we've been doing. And it's really a fantastic fuel.
Wow.
You know, so yeah, there could be opportunities there for maybe the national parks, maybe to do something with it. You know, might be an opportunity to help to finance the removal of it.
And you mentioned to us before, Carol, that on days like today, you also provide shelter and free warming up for people who might stop by on a bike that have been drenched, that they can come in and use their rhododendron.
We do. Yeah. Well, obviously there's lockdown, so there's nobody around today, but normally we do. Yeah. People come in and we'll even make them a cup of tea if they're wet, and they love standing at the stove, and we'll tell them about the rhododendron and about the different things that we're doing in the tourist office. We have a book exchange there, and we have light bulb recycling at the back, and we have battery recycling, and we have, you know, recycling for paper and our cardboard and that kind of thing in the port when people come in. So they get to see what we're doing there, you know. So, and we have Mayo's first water station was installed there at the tourist office. We commissioned, or we couldn't get one anywhere. We could only get one from Australia or America. So we actually commissioned one to get it made specially, because we didn't want the carbon footprint of bringing one in from abroad. And we have that on the wall of the tourist office, and we have a little app that goes with it, and it tells us how many much water has been dispensed and how many plastic bottles we've saved. And we can tell people about that.
Wow, Carol, that is incredible, isn't it?
Brilliant.
So people love all that, and it's good for tourists to come in. I think if they see that you're trying to be sustainable, they're aware of it then when they come to visit you, you know.
Yeah, you pass on the mindset.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. In the work you did with the local school and you hosted the light bulb swap there, you've also done a Make Mulranny Cozy campaign with the school, and the school has been involved in a number of different projects. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I suppose the school, the kids are great, really. I mean, they're fantastic. You know, so I really, they wanted to be involved when we were doing the Let's Make Mulranny Cozy. So they came up with the questions. They had a little questionnaire for everybody that came in, you know, do you have your kettle full for a cup of tea? Do you close your curtains at night? And it about 12, no, they actually had 20 questions. And they asked people to fill in all those questions and, you know, how they're getting on. And then when they were leaving then, they gave them a tip sheet, you know, with a different scenario, how they could actually save energy. You know, only half fill your kettle. Do close your curtains at night. Don't have a bath, have a shower. You know, little things like that. So, and they got to chat to people and they explained about the other things they're doing in school. They have all their other normal things that they do, you know, they cycle and they go on their scooters to school. So the local community got a chance to talk to the children about what they're doing for their own Green Schools flag. You know, so that was lovely for them. And it was nice to have the children involved.
Very much so. And the pictures are great that you have on the website as well.
Yeah, they're very enthusiastic as well.
And I think you have to inspire the students as well if you want to make a change as well. And you probably find that they're educating the parents at home and everything. And it's really inspiring.
Yeah, they sent the survey home then to their homes to be filled in.
So the whole family had to get involved.
The whole family had to get involved as well. Yeah, another great, great little crowd. Yeah, the children are great.
And obviously, Carol, Mulranny is, as you were mentioning, a stunning place. And we were talking about tourism there in the tourism centre. Does that kind of bring challenges along with it in the fact that there's probably a lot of homes that are used as holiday homes and possibly people aren't as interested in maybe kind of insulating their homes when they're not there full time?
We've an awful lot of holiday homes here. I think it's probably about, it's more, just slightly less than half our holiday homes. We do have a lot of holiday homes, and it's a lot of them, we wouldn't even know some of the people who own those holiday homes because they would only be here for the summer or else they just rent them out. You know, we don't even see them at all that have caretakers to look after them. So that is a bit of a challenge to try and get any work done on those holiday homes. You know, but we're concentrating as we can only do what we can do. So, you know, we've got some, we did 15 BERs on local family homes here in the village in February. And we're hoping that we will be able to do a Better Energy Communities grant with some of the people who got those BERs done, want to get some work done. So hopefully when we get back to some kind of normality, that we'll be able to help those people out. You know.
That'd be fantastic. Ruth, do you want to just tell people a little bit about the Better Energy Community grants there that Carol is talking about?
Sure. There's a capital grant programme that hopefully will be in a position to offer up to about €45 million for communities to take action in their local community. In addition to that, there could be a sister programme as a pilot to activate communities and make it a little bit easier to apply for the funding and for communities to deliver the projects themselves. So both of those opportunities will make it possible for communities to identify the action that's necessary. And then through working with the likes of the Energy Master Plan process that we have, identify the best projects for the communities to undertake and then be able to apply for funding. So we talk about the community journey as being about learning and planning and then doing. So the network itself is the learning part and the planning is about an Energy Master Plan process. So we know that Mulranny has done their Energy Master Plan, and we'll ask Carol to talk a little bit about that. But in the that helps inform the types of projects that are best suited to the community and what the possible costs and paybacks would be. Carol, how did you find the Energy Master Plan and how does it help inform the projects you want to do in the future?
Yeah, well, I suppose it was great, the supports we get from the SAI. Like, we were appointed mentors, Energy Cooperatives Ireland, I have to say, Cormac and Lou and Vincent, they helped us out. And then we had consultants then to do help us with our Energy Master Plan. That was Plan Energy in Sligo. And they were a fantastic help to us. So what we decided to do was we decided that we'd get our consultants to actually meet with all the businesses in the community, in the village, you know, just to visit their premises and see could they offer any free advice or, you know, so that was very helpful. And some of them have made some changes already because of that advice that they got. And we have our Energy Master Plan, as I said, at the moment, we can't do a lot with it because we're in lockdown. But We will be hoping too that we have a register of opportunities as well that kind of guides us as to what we can do going forward. You know, get so many houses retrofitted and get more BERs done. And it's kind of like a stepping stone one after the other as to what we can do. You know, and the whole idea of the End of Master Plan really is to try and get everyone's house upgraded. I mean, everyone thinks that immediately you're going to have maybe some renewable energy in the community, but you have to try and lower your energy usage in the community first and get it down as low as you can before you can go and do any major project, any big renewable energy project. So that'll be our plan, to try and help people to make their houses warmer and more energy efficient. And then maybe we look at doing something with renewable energy. That's the way we're going to work it.
So that's your long-term plan.
That's our long-term plan, yes. Yeah.
I suppose some people think it probably does happen overnight, and maybe that insulating and lowering your energy is probably isn't the most glamorous thing to be doing, but that is really where it starts, isn't it?
It is. Well, that's where you have to start, because there's no point in your house being cold and then you put on a solar panel or you do, it's not going to help. So you have to insulate your house first. You know, I'm only learning all this stuff myself since I got involved in the SEAI. It's been a really fantastic learning experience for us all, you know, been so helpful. Yeah.
It's great, Karen. It's great to have you on board. And it's great to see that journey evolving and the community knowledge growing and people being encouraged by your experience that they've seen the successes there. And what we'd say is that it's really important to know where you're spending your money on energy so that you can see where you can make the changes. I think it's hard to see how an individual householder can make a big impact. But when we think that every 250 homes spend about €1 million a year on their energy, when you take into account their heating and their electricity and their travel costs, it's quite a significant amount of money for a community of just 250 homes to spend.
Yeah.
So with some easy changes, it's a lot of money. And it's not hard to help people save 10% of their energy bill, you know, without having to make any big investments. So that's €100,000 that community has that it didn't have last year. And that recurs every year. With, you know, some small grant works and behaviour change and a bit of investment from the businesses, it's very possible to save 30%. So imagine a community being gifted €300,000 every year to spend locally or to save or to invest in their next project. There's huge potential when people act together. And I think that's the real benefit of the types of projects that Carol has started up and gotten people gathered behind, that momentum can turn into something really massive.
It's good. Yeah.
Small steps. Yeah. And Carol, can I ask you as well, when we were chatting beforehand, you mentioned about kind of some of the other kind of more visible things that you're doing, such as you mentioned the water station. But there was also the bus that you have as well for tourists, which I think sounds really amazing.
Yeah, we started off running a free bus from tourist office down in collaboration with the National Park in Ballycroy. And we wanted to try and let people reduce their carbon footprint, because people were going from Mulroney down to the National Park in a couple of cars. So it was right, we'll offer a free bus service that they get picked up at the tourist office and they'd get dropped back. And the National Park put on a guided walk. And so when they got down, they were met and they were given a guided walk around the National Park Visitor Centre. And they could have a cup of coffee or whatever and then come back down and they're dropped back at the tourist office. That was really successful. And we did that for probably, I'd say, 2 years. And last year, then that service has now been expanded. The National Park have taken it over completely. So that's fantastic. So people can hop on the bus and they don't need to bring their car, go down to the National Park, or they can, if they want to use it, to get to wherever they want to go in that little circle. So, you know, it's little things to make people think about their carbon footprint.
And do a lot of people take it up, Carol?
They do, yeah. People do take it up. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they, you know, because I'm even like coming from Westport, it's a long way down to the National Park from Westport. So if you can take a bus and, you can save 2 or 3 cars going on the road, you know, it's win-win. You can sit back and relax and enjoy the scenery at the same time. You don't have to think about driving.
How do you think that the work you do with the St. Mary communities has impacted the community of Mulroney? Because you seem to have gotten great buy-in, but you seem to have normalised sustainability practices very easily.
Yeah, well, I suppose, I mean, there's a team of people here in Mulroney. I said, that's not just me, and that's for sure. There's a fantastic team of people who are involved in other kinds of sustainability projects and that, so I mean, Mulroney's won a lot of awards for all the, you know, best destination for responsible tourism. We're an Eden destination, so, you know, there's a lot of work. It's won Silver Award in the Tidy Towns. There's an awful lot of groups and people who are doing a lot of things, and we all kind of work together. So I suppose that's very important to say. You know, there's a lot of cross, I don't know what word you'd use it. You know, you might go to a meeting and you meet somebody and you go to another meeting the next night with the same person. You might meet the same people, but there might be a few other people, probably like a lot of other communities in Ireland. you know, there's a lot of people
always ask
involved.
A busy person.
Yeah, you know, that's it, y'all. You know, there's a lot of people here. So I don't know, we just work well together. We get on well together. You know, we all kind of, we know we live in a beautiful area. We're very lucky to live here and we want to try and protect it as best we can. You know, with climate change and things like that, you know, I suppose I consider myself lucky to live here, really. I love it. It's a beautiful place.
I think it's lucky to have you as well, Carol.
No, I really like it here. I like the people. I love where I live. It's absolutely beautiful. And we just want to try and look after it. And I think the majority of the people living here, I say all of them actually, want to do the same. You know, so it's easy to be involved, really.
What's next for you, Carol?
I don't know. But what's next? We're just going to carry on, I think, and, you know, keep doing what we're doing and try and get some, when we get out of this lockdown, that we'll get back to our energy master plan. It's very hard to do anything at the moment, you know, like some of our committee members are kind of cocooning and things like that, and we're all being very careful around each other, and it's very hard to, you know, at the moment, it's difficult, you know, but as I said, we're not in any rush. We'll do it as we can. We're, as I said, we're volunteers. We're doing the best we can. We're enthusiastic, and I'd encourage anybody to get involved, you know. You don't have to be an expert because there's plenty of help from the SEAI to help you, plenty of expertise there.
I think that's a really strong message. And Ruth, kind of, for someone listening to that, you know, message from Carol there, that anyone can get involved. How exactly does someone get involved? Can you just start one in your community and just get stuck in?
Absolutely. It's dead easy. But what I'd say is, in the first thing to look at is to see, is there already one in your community? So there might already be a group in your area that you want to get involved in. So check first on our map, which is on the SEI.ie website, and just look up community and you can search our Sustainable Energy Communities map and you can find the contact details to find out if there's one nearby. If there's not one nearby and there's a group of you together that are interested in setting one up, just fill out the online application form. There's no problem at all. It's not committing you to anything other than that you want to share and learn with other communities in Ireland, and you move forward at whatever pace you're able to and interested in. And as Carol said, there's a mentor there to help guide you along. There's no rush. There's no, absolutely no obligation on you to undertake any sort of project at all. It's literally there just to share and learn. And then when you're ready, we'll help you along with the next steps in your community journey. There's a new section on our website that actually shows you the pathway for a community to go through. So that's a nice way just to see the different steps you can take as and when you're ready to do that. So, Carol, you've mentioned to us how difficult it can be to engage the people who are in holiday homes in the area, but you do have some really interesting initiatives that you've developed. Can you tell us about one that you think has worked out quite well for you?
Yeah, I can, Ruth. We actually started a food drop box at our tourist office. We noticed that there was some of our caretakers who look after some of the holiday homes told us that there was a lot of food waste. So we said, right, we'll see, can we do something about that? So we did up a little flyer and we laminated it. And we gave it to any holiday home owners that we actually knew, and we posted it through the letterbox of ones that we didn't know, and with a little note to ask them to put it into their welcome book or to leave it somewhere visible in the kitchen, and to ask holiday home owners that were actually, when they were leaving Mulroney, that they could drop tourist office, that we had a drop box there, and that they could leave food that unused, you know, non-perishable food, and that we would distribute it then afterwards. So we've been doing that now for the last 2 years, and we drop the food then to St. Vincent Hall and they distribute it. And if people are, you know, sometimes people, the tourist office may be closed. We've had some holiday homeowners actually hung a bag on the door, and there's a lady across the road who will give me a ring or tell me that there's been food left, and I'll go back and, or she'll mind it till the next day till we open up. And that's been very successful and something different. And any group can do that. Any community could do that. Same thing. Just to avoid food waste.
It's brilliant.
Such a lovely idea.
Yeah, it really is, and really impactful as well. And you know, they're avoiding waste, but also providing a benefit to some members of the community as well.
So exactly.
Yeah, I love that idea, and I've seen it in my own community where they have a little library that, you know, people can leave books and leave a book and take a book and things like that. So I love that idea, that leave the food that you didn't use for someone else. It's just really generous.
Yeah, and it makes people think as well about their, I think themselves when they're on the holiday, about, you know, we have a leave no trace. So on the back of that, actually, we use that as well. When we dropped up that food drop box information, we put a leave no trace on the back of the laminate. So it's a double-sided laminate with leave no trace on the back and the food drop box on the front.
So that's to encourage people not to leave their, you know, rubbish after.
Yeah, exactly. Not to leave rubbish, just to, you know, to follow a leave no trace ethic if they're visiting Mulroney or when they're on their holidays.
Carol, in relation to your current progress and obviously with the lockdown, how have you found the mentoring availability for your community activities?
Yeah, well, it's great. We have a lovely mentor called Orla Nixuvna. Orla is actually another Dub like myself, which is living in Belmullet. And Orla is always at the end of the phone. Well, obviously, we can't meet at the moment, but I know we're trying to do a project. We're hoping to get PV panels because we've reduced the energy on the tourist office a lot now. We've reduced the carbon footprint by over 75%. And we're going to see if we can get PV panels put on the roof of the tourist office. And we want to run an e-bike charging service there for people who use the Greenway, that they can come along and charge their bikes for free from renewable energy. So Orla's been advising me and helping me with that, and she's been great.
That's fantastic. I think, as Carl has demonstrated, what people need really is just to get stuck in, a bit of enthusiasm, and just go for it. Really, there's no wrong way, is there?
No, definitely not.
I just want to ask you both as well, any final words of wisdom for people listening out there today?
I suppose you don't have to build a wind farm to start off. I think just do small things and go for it. That's what I'd say. Just go for it. And take your time, no rush, just do what you can do. That's what I'd say to people. Sign up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about getting involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, find out what's going on locally, and if there's not something, try and see if you can start something up. But it is, start as small as you like, but start, find some option, look at your own energy use, look at the energy use in your family, maybe in the business that you're in. They're the places you can start to learn the different aspects of energy very easily. We've different resources on our website that can help with that as well, but it is about just getting started. And you know, in a year or two, you might be on the podcast instead of Carol.
I think that's a really good point as well, that if you're kind of starting out to maybe look to people like Carol and other communities around Ireland, because I mean, burning rhododendrons to water stations to, you know, there's so many other different things that people are doing. So have a look around and be inspired.
And on our website.
And your website, yep.
Yeah, there's some lovely videos and case studies on our website to showcase a tiny sample of the communities and what they've done so far. And we'd love to tell more stories. So if there's communities that are in the network that want to tell their story, get in touch and we'll help you develop a case study that we can share as well.
Ruth and Carl, thank you so much for joining me today. We hope that our listeners have learned a little bit about our sustainable energy communities around Ireland and the inspiring work that they're doing. Until next time, thank you. Thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, then please like, share and subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening now. You'll find previous episodes on our website, seai.ie/podcast, along with information about our grants and supports. See you next week.